Second Chronicles chapter 20. It's time as Christians to trust in the Lord to the point that we take our hands off of our situations and trust God to put His hands on it and begin to move it. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have some responsibility. I'm not saying we don't do our part. But when we get to a point that there's things in our lives that we just can't help ourselves with, then we look to God, we seek God, we trust God, we wait on God. And say, God, this is your battle. I can't fix it. I can't change it. There's an old saying, and it should be in the Bible because it's a good saying. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it, right? And that's kind of what I'm talking about this morning, that we can only go so far with our lives or with other people's lives we're trying to help. But then we got to say, okay, I can't make them drink. I can't make them change. I can't make this go away. I wish I could. I can't buy healing. I can't buy deliverance. I can't figure out how to change this. So God, you are God over all, creator of all. You're in all and through all, the Bible says. Everything was made by you. So surely I can trust you. Surely, God, I can place my faith in you where you can move mountains I can't move. We're going to read a story of where Judea was under attack. They were going to be under attack by their enemies, by the Moabites and by the Ammonites, which were current-day Syria, current-day Jordan. And they were going to attack Judea. And the king was seeking the Lord's help for this because he was outnumbered, he was outmanned, he was outgunned, just like things in our lives are. We get situations in our lives where we know that we are outmanned by the pain we experience, by the hardships we experience, by the battles we experience, and we are outnumbered, it seems, in our flesh, that the devil has the upper hand, that this hasn't gone away, that my life is stuck in this continual, constant cycle, and what do I do about it? We let God have it. And we let God fight for us. God wants to fight for us. God wants to be there for us. God wants to help us. God wants us to depend on Him to such a point that we don't depend on ourselves anymore. That's why Paul says that you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I've learned to be weak so then I can take on the strength of God. When we think we're in control, we don't let God do anything. We think we've got it, God ain't involved in it. When we think we can handle it, we don't really seek God a whole lot. It's in those times of sorrow and defeat. It's in those times of absolute desperation. It's in those times we don't see any answers. All we see is walls and dead ends that we finally come to terms with. Maybe I need some help. And this is what King Jehoshaphat sought God for in this. So let's read chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with the other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. The enemy has come to battle against this nation. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. He did the first right thing, didn't he? He sought the Lord. Here's a battle coming against me. What do I do about it? We seek the Lord. I'm a true believer that we seek God for everything in our lives, our finances, our marriages, our children, our family, our jobs, our buying a car, our anything in life. God, I want to seek you first. Is this the right decision? Is this what you want in your plan? I always say this all the time. God's will is the best will. Yes. And we think that what we want is the best, and we want God to see it our way. Hey, God, can you see it my way? Because this is really what I like to have. And then when God doesn't respond the way we want Him to, then we think God has failed us, or we think God has not heard us, or we think we're not doing enough to get God's attention, when in fact God has answered our prayer according to His will and His plan for our lives. I would much rather be in the plan of God, which I don't understand, than to be in the plan I formed, which I do understand. It's a big difference because God knows what tomorrow holds. went to visit someone yesterday, and some of y'all know this person, but I went to visit someone yesterday at a hospice house, and they're only 50 years old, and without a divine miracle, they've got a few days left, unless without a divine miracle. And sister was talking to me and said, you know, said, I don't understand why God answers everybody else's prayers but not mine. And I said, darling, he don't answer everybody else's prayers either, not the way you want. How many times have we prayed for something that's not happened, right? And so I was trying to let her know, look, you know, you've prayed, you've believed, you trusted God. I understand that. But you got to trust the plan of God is greater than the plan of you. Because, and then we got talking, she says, well, I know that well, the dad actually told me this, I know that God sees the whole picture. He does. The Bible says we only see in part, right? Like looking through a glass. We only see in part. I can't see the whole picture. I mean, I can't see how I'm going to look in 10 years. Hope it's better than where I am now. But I don't know how I'm going to look in 10 years. I don't know what car I'll have in 5 years. I don't know I don't know what I'll have down the road. I don't know. I don't know what Ashley's going to be doing 5 years from now. If Chris will still be in Florida 3 years from now. I don't have no idea what tomorrow holds. I see in part. I've got my planner filled out for this week. So I know what I'm doing tomorrow and Tuesday and part of Wednesday. And I got something going on Thursday. Somebody in prison Thursday. So I've got part of this week planned out. But even God can change that, right? I don't know what tomorrow holds, and he does. So I trust that. Jehoshaphat didn't know how the battle was going to turn out. The Bible says right there, it said he scared. That's what he said, that he was afraid. So what do we do? We're afraid. We seek God. Why? Because God cast out our fears. Verse 4, Judea gathered themselves together. The whole nation now is coming together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord. What a wonderful, powerful message this is of when there's a battle arising, people are seeking for God's help. They're seeking what? God, we need you to help us. We don't know what to do. And I need your guidance. I need your direction. That is not admitting failure. That is not admitting that we are weak. It is admitting, God, you're in control, and I love you and trust you so much that I give you that control with no reservation and no hesitation. I give you that, God. More Christians can follow this pattern, and we would see the hand of God move in a different way in our lives. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not thou God in heaven and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Jehoshaphat is verbally declaring, reminding himself and others, and God, he don't need reminding, but he's reminding God, aren't you who you say you are? Aren't you over all creation? Aren't you the king and ruler over all things? Can anybody, God, whip you? Can anybody beat you? No, because God is the eye of the tiger, so to speak. The eye of the tiger. And nobody can take my God out, and nothing can withstand against him. There's nothing that can overtake him because he's in full control, full authority, full supreme. He's top dog. He's head banana. He's number one. He's numero uno. He's everything. Absolutely all power belongs to him. And the king recognizes this and is declaring that to the people, declaring that to himself, reminding himself of who is on his side. I think that's part of the revelation. We have to know who's on our side. Man, I've got God. Remember when you was a kid, you had these pickup games, basketball, football, whatever. You had pickup games, and, you know, you pick your team, right? Me and Sherman are captains. We have to pick who we want. Okay, Sherman, you pick first. I'll pick Gordon. You know, I'll pick Bill. I'll pick Jeremy. You know, I'll pick Joe. Sorry, I'm just doing all guys. Sorry, ladies. I'll pick Joe. We pick our team, right? We pick the ones we think give us the best chance to win, right? If you're playing basketball, unless you're Muggsy Bogues and extreme talent, you're probably not going to pick a 5'1" kid when you got a 6'4" over there. Yeah, I'll take that one. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. You want the big guy that can get to the rim, get the rebounds, tall guy. Just throw it up. I used to play my friend Jamie Lyles all the time, one-on-one. We played one-on-one all the time at his house. Jamie's 6'5". I think I ever beat him, ever. I came close. We played to 100. Young people now be like, hang on, let me check my phone every 3 seconds. We played to 100 in the summertime, one-on-one. He beat me every single time. And I would get close. It'd be like 198, 195, 199. 100. He always beat me. The mug was tall. I couldn't. He was tall. Anyway, it had nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. We pick who we think gives us the best chance to win. Remind yourselves who's on your side. So when the devil says, oh, you got this happening, you got this happening, you got all this legal mess, you got all this family mess, you got all this financial mess, you got all this physical mess, you got all of this car issues, you got, you know, all of this stuff, you're going, all the battles of life that attack us, remind the devil who's on your side. Look, I've got God on my side, and if God is for me, there is nothing and nobody, no one can be against me. Hallelujah. Nothing. I've got the God on my side. Whom shall I fear? Hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat's reminding himself of who's on his side. He says in verse 7, "Art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you givest us the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and built thee a sanctuary, therefore, in thy name, saying," look at verse 9, "if when evil cometh upon us, at the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house." Your name, God, is in this house. Your name, God, is in my heart. It's in my life. It's over my life. And when the enemy attacks me, it can't touch or penetrate or truly defeat this house, because this house has been bought with a price. I'm now the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost now dwells inside of me. The devil has no power to destroy me. My flesh may be weak, and I have battles, and I may fail some of those battles. But in the end, when all is said and done, I stand in full victory. Because as the old hymn says, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I have that victory. You have that victory in Christ. I'm so proud, Jehoshaphat, man. He is absolutely, boy, he is preaching the word right here. "Your name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." How much confidence do we have when we ask God for help? Is it one of these things, "Lord, I really need help, but I don't really believe you can"? Or do we really believe that when we go to God, he's able to help us? You know, our faith is more. We've been doing a series last couple weeks about faith. And faith is more than faith is seeing something before we see it. It's believing something before it happens. How much faith do we have in God? God, I know what you can do. I know what you have done. I know who you are. I know all about you through your word, through prayer, through seeking God. I know what you're capable of doing. Why am I afraid of anything that comes into my life? It's not bigger than you. Nothing is bigger than you, period. And I trust God, you're going to help me when I ask for help. It may not be the help that I want sometimes, but it'll be the help that I need. Remember the old Andy Griffith episode where they had the hobo out by the railroad tracks? And he couldn't work because he had a bad hip or a game leg. And everything Andy offered, couldn't do it. "We'll get you a nice inside job." "Well, I can't sit too long." "We'll get you out on the road." "Well, I can't walk too long. I can't stand the heat, can't stand the cold, can't stand the light, can't stand the dark." He was a bum, right? He didn't want to work at all. Andy tried to help him. He told little Opie, "Well, nobody gives me a break." "Wah! Nobody helps me. Wah! I'm a victim my whole life." Man, Jesus took all that out of the way. We are not victims anymore. We're victorious forevermore. that man didn't want to work. He wanted to stay a bum. Sometimes you can't help people. And sometimes I think when we ask God for help and he gives us what we need, it ain't always what we want. And we're like, oh, okay, God. Wasn't expecting that, you know. Lord, I need to pay off some debt. I got myself in trouble. Lord, just send a magic check in the mailbox and wipe it all away. I'm seeking you for help, Lord. Let the IRS find a mistake from 30 years ago and rebound me for 30 years worth of, and just let them send me a big old fat check. And God says, I'm going to help you. Burger King is calling. Don't you come in for an interview tomorrow and go work and make a living and pay your debt off that way. But God, that ain't what I want. That's what I'm saying. That's what you need, though. You want help? I open a door for you. I don't like that door. Well, here's another door. I don't really like that door. We want to pick the door, don't we? Still letting God just help us. God will help us if we will accept his help the way he gives it to us, because God knows what we need. Skip down to verse 12, right, Brandon? O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might. Now he's admitting his inadequacies with his army. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are upon you. God, we're outnumbered. We don't have a prayer. We don't have a chance. God, you're going to have to help us. You're going to have to show up and do something that you can do that we can't. Because in the natural, it ain't looking good. Verse 13. And Judea stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then as they're waiting to hear from God about what to do, look what happens in verse 14. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, his name was Jehazel. It always goes through all that heritage. But Jehazel is the one that said this. On Jehazel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, you ask God for help, he's about to show up right here. He's about to speak. Once again, we must respond and receive what God is speaking to us. We must listen to that. It may not be how we think God moves or how we think God works, or it may not be what we want heard. But if we're praying for God to help us, then when he speaks, listen to that and trust that. Yes. Here's what the prophet said. He said, hearken ye, listen closely, all ye Judea, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. He's giving him a word here. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, the great attack about to happen. Don't be afraid of that. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Wouldn't it be great? You know, my wife Melanie, bless her heart, I love her. She could just fall asleep and let things roll off her, and she don't stay up at night thinking about nothing. When her head hits the pillow, she's gone. She is gone. She fell asleep two nights ago, laying on her side, cell phone in her hand, two fingers still on it, and I heard her snoring. I thought she was on her phone. I'm like, Mally, you're asleep? Yeah. Put the cell phone down, roll over, and go to sleep. She can rest. She absolutely can just turn it off and rest. What if God Almighty himself, if you knew it was God, you had a divine revelation, and you knew that God himself walked in this sanctuary, stood in front of Gordon, stood in front of Stacy, stood in front of all of you, and says, this battle is not yours, it's mine. Just let me have it. Boy, we would be giving that away like that. I started to say a political statement, but be careful. We'd be giving it away just like that. Man, God, you mean you're going to fight this? Yep. Whew. Okay. I'm going to let you fight it. I'm not going to worry about it no more. I'm going to lay my head down and rest and wait on you to intervene in this situation. Because God does. God intervenes in our lives, and God moves in our lives, and God shows up in our lives, and God makes ways in our lives if we will ask him for help and trust him and wait on him and realize, I can't win this battle. God, this battle belongs to you. I give it to you, and I give it to you with joy because I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of battling. You know, if you go to, if you study anything about psychology or, you know, anything like that, there are people in our lives sometimes that are poisonous to our lives. They're toxic to our lives, right? They're just toxic. And no matter how much we love them, how much we're close to them, there's times that it's recommended that we cut those people out of our lives for our own health and sanity, as hard as that is. Well, you know what? It's time that we cut off these battles and fights we're having that we're getting nowhere with, because all it's doing is keeping us discouraged, overwhelmed, depressed, and afraid. And nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. God, nothing is changing. So, Lord, I'm tired. So if I can give this, you know, 1 Peter 5 tells us to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. So I want, God, you got it. I'm giving it to you. I can't fix it. I'm going to walk away, back up, and just let you intervene and do what you do best, which is be God. And I'm going to let you do that. All of a sudden, the burden's lifted off of us, right? As we cast that upon the Lord. Because there are battles in our lives that we are not able to fix. But God can give us what we need in that moment we're in that season we're in. 16. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they shall come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Can I say that again? You shall not need to fight in this battle. I'm a big Rocky fan. Loved all the Rocky movies, most of them. A couple of them I thought were duds, but I liked most of them. You remember Rocky's strategy? He kept getting punched and not using no energy, right? He got the living daylights beat out of him and wouldn't throw a punch. And now it's like, why is he not punching back? Come on. He didn't, remember he said, come on, you're right there. Come on. He wasn't throwing no punches. He was conserving his energy to the moment of attack. Then at the end, when the other guy was all tuckered out from fighting, all them punches thrown, all that oxygen spent, he was wore out. Rocky's fresh. He ain't throwed a punch in three rounds. So all of a sudden he comes out. He's on fire. It's his time to attack because the other guy is wore out. We are wore out of fighting battles we can't win. And God is saying right here, you don't need to fight this battle. I've got a plan. I've got it laid out. It's all good. Just trust me. I've got a scheme and a tactic, and you're not a part of this plan as far as you planning it out. I'm planning it out. Just follow the blueprint of what I'm laying out before you. Follow it. And watch what happens. Man, I love that part. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judea and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Boy, that would give me a good night's sleep. I could sleep that night. God's going to be with me. I'd get up bright and early, eat my Wheaties and wheat toast. Not really, be bacon, eggs, and grits. But anyway, I would eat that, and I would get up, and I'd be like, okay, God is with us. Yes. Hallelujah. God is with us, so I don't have to fear or worry. God says he would be with us. There ain't no battle bigger than God. There ain't no bombs stronger than God. There is no amount of men greater than God. There is no multitude can drown out God. He's God, and nothing can overcome him. Nothing. So I trust that. God's going to be with me. And God's with you right now. God's with you every day, every morning, every night. God is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What a beautiful story. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites, of the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Notice what they were doing. They were giving God praise before the battle even started. Yes. They were giving God worship and glory before anything happened. They weren't walking around worried about what to do. They were like Caleb and who's the other one? The 10 spies? Caleb and Joshua. When they came back, and the 8 spies were all nervous and afraid. Oh, no, Moses, we can't take them. They're big. We're like grasshoppers. You know, we can't do it. But two of them says, oh, what? Bunch of chickens? Really? The God of Israel's on our side. Let's go up right now at once and take them. Man, they're see, when the devil is attacking you, he's got to deal with God, the God you serve. He's not just attacking Gordon Messer, the weak, broken, hurting vessel. He's attacking the temple of God where the Holy Spirit abides. He's trespassing on property that's already been bought back by the blood of Jesus. And so when we recognize that and realize that, what am I allowing the devil to overcome and keep me down and defeated whenever I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and I am a child of God? You heard the kids open up with that. I am a child of God. In my Father's house, there's room for you. Man, I'm a child of God. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. When those seals are broken, there I shall be found. There I shall be discovered because of what Jesus did for me and did for you. They're worshiping God. I thought about that song Melanie and the group sung. I hadn't sung in a long time, but Victory and a Shout, right? Walk by faith and not by sight. Even when it don't seem right. Trust the Lord. Believe without a doubt. God has promised he'd show up where his praise is given out. So, praise the Lord, the victory's in the shout. It's a good song, right? Not a good singer, but a great song. Victory in the shout. Trust God without a doubt and begin to praise him. I've said this many times, it's hard to praise God or pray to God and be depressed or angry or upset at the same time. Because when you start praying and praising God, something takes over. Something happens. The Lord that you're praying to begins to pull you out of those ashes and give you joy again. So they're singing with a loud voice. Verse 20. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and says, "Hear me, O Judea and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Can you imagine David Lee in Iraq and his troops are marching? And in front of David Lee and his troops is Rodney and Melanie and Mindy and Stacy and Ashley. And they're singing. They're singing praises to God. What a mighty God we serve. You are going down, you Kurds. No, I'm saying, you're going. Jesus is before me. The bombs will not touch me. Glory be to my God. I mean, think about, they were singing worshipers out ahead of the army to praise the Lord and give him glory. Letting everyone know and letting God know, yes, Lord, we trust you, we believe in you, we worship you, we praise you, we're letting you fight this battle, we're marching out in victory formation. In football, the greatest formation ever is the victory formation, right? At the very end of a game when a team knows they got it and they take a knee and they just kneel down. We didn't see that very much of Carolina this year, but they take a knee. When you take that formation, victory is definite. They had a victory formation. Singers going out, praising the Lord ahead of time. Praise God ahead of time. Don't wait for the miracle to come. Praise him while you're waiting on the miracle. Don't wait for the healing to come. Praise him before the healing comes. Praise him before the deliverance comes. He's still an awesome God. Maybe your life ain't awesome right now. Maybe you're going through a battle, but he's still God. He's still awesome. Your battle, your circumstance, your situation doesn't change the awesomeness of our God. It doesn't make him not mighty, not holy, not my deliverer, not my protector, not my provider. Your situation doesn't make God not those things. He's still all of those things, regardless of what you're going through. And as we see that, we're like, oh my gosh, yes, Lord. I'm not letting anything in my life change how I worship and trust you. Because then I'm not really walking a life of faith at all. I'm walking a life of what I see and what I feel. For the children, 22. And when they began to sing and praise, look what happened here. Here's what happened. The Lord, not them, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and they came against Judea, and they were smitten. Smitten. I'm not talking about, I'm just smitten with you. Not that kind of smitten. We're talking about dog dead, 6 feet under, going out feet first, six men carrying you, dead, smitten, killed, destroyed, gone, bye-bye, no more, see you later, not really, because you're dead. Smitten, they're gone. The Lord set ambush. They do studying on this, do some research on this a little bit. How did the ambush happen? Who was it? Some things we study say that God could have put angelic beings there to do his work. Some say he used other inhabitants there and raised them up to do the work. But the point is, God set the ambush. They didn't. God did it. As they walked through, God had a plan, and God executed his plan perfectly, and they were destroyed. Skip down to verse 28. We'll close this out with the last three verses, or these last three verses. They came to Jerusalem after they were smitten, dead, gone. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries where they had heard, here it is, that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The Lord had fought. Jehoshaphat got no glory. You don't see him getting any credit. You don't see the king and Judea and almighty me, and it's all about I. No, God fought the battle. God set the ambush. God destroyed them. God got the glory. God gets all the praise. It all points back to the God of all things, and that's how it should be in our lives, that God gets the glory for all things in our lives. The battle was not theirs to fight. The battle was God's to fight, and God did what he said. But you know what? They sought for God's help. They asked for God to help them. They asked for God to move. They asked for God to intervene. They said, Lord, we need your help. We don't know what to do. What happens with us? We go off half-cocked, don't we? And make stupid decisions. We go off half-cocked based on our emotion. You know, and we don't think things through. We don't seek God's face or counsel. We react emotionally, sometimes on a dime, and we wonder why we get in trouble. Some of you have this problem in here. This is something I don't think I have a huge problem with. I do sometimes, but not every day. But some of us have no filter from here to here. Nancy Rose is one. There's several of y'all in here. If it hits here, it comes out here. And there's nothing to stop it. You think it, you say it. And then you're like, and Mindy maybe. Was Mindy one of those, Sherman? No filter. Yeah. No filter. I can't imagine the times you're embarrassed, brother. You're sitting over at Red Lobster, and you're like, oh, my gosh. She didn't just say that. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go to the table, and maybe they'll think I left because I am so embarrassed. Who is?
Liz.
Oh, so you're selling her out. Yeah, so that's how sin works, see. Now she's throwing Liz under the bus. No filter from here to here. No filter. If we would learn to just wait on the Lord to move, and it's hard for many of us because some of us are wired with the do-it-now mentality. Now, I am that way. I'm a do-it-now mentality. And sometimes I get ahead of what God's wanting to do, and then I find myself in a mess. I'm like, God, why didn't I just stand still like here and wait on you to show up? Why did I make that decision without seeking your counsel? Why did I do that without praying about it? You know, I say this jokingly, but I really do mean this. I think we're all guilty of this. I really do. And I've been very honest about my own life as a pastor, as a minister, as a man of God, man of the cloth, reverend, pastor, minister, preacher. Yes, thank you. I'm guilty of this. Something comes to my life, and sometimes me praying about it's not the first thing that I do. Are y'all that way? Or sometimes praying is not the first thing you do? Something comes to your life and you immediately try to figure it out your way. You respond your way. You try to figure it out on your own abilities. And you find out this isn't working. Oh, gee, you know what? Oh, yeah, I got God on my side. Duh. Let me pray about it. Maybe I should seek God for it. You think? Yeah. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your steps. But we don't do that. We go off first and then feel terrible later. We make a poor decision today and then regret it for many months, maybe years later. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to seek what you want me to do on this. I'm going to ask for your help. Last verse here, verse 30. So the battle's been won. So the rim of Jehoshaphat, his kingdom, his place, his home, his country, was quiet. For the Lord gave him rest round about. Rest is a beautiful thing. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional rest. It's a beautiful thing to be able to rest in something without stressing or worrying about it day and night. Many of us have no fingernails because you chew them off because you are so stressed over life. Many have substance abuse issues because they're stressed in life. They don't have rest. So we do things to try to make it go away so we don't have to face it or deal with it, but we're still not resting because there's more consequences and harm to the vices we're using to try to find pleasure and rest. Cast all your care upon him. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Man, rest is beautiful. Rest in me when you're weary. Rest in me. And it goes on like that. But the song's talking about rest in him. If we could learn to rest in God. You know how I rest in God? You got the battle. You've got the battle. You know, back in the old days, when I was little, I used to watch it. I don't watch it anymore. But when I was little, I watched a little bit of wrestling. Wrestling, that's how we say it in the South. Wrestling, W-R-A-S-T, wrestling. And I grew up with like Ricky Steamboat, right? Rock and Roll Express, Andre the Giant, all them boys. And I loved when they would, you know, have doubles, right? Because what would happen when one of them got in trouble? What would they do? There you go, tag. I can see Nathan likes wrestling too. Tag. They'd reach for them ropes and try to, you know, looking back now, it was all just such, you know, TV drama. But anyway, oh, my leg's hurting. Yeah, right. Anyway, tag. And they would hit that, and then they would jump in and start, and they were fresh, start pouncing them. That's what we need to do. Tag, God. Woo! All right, you it. And I ain't tagging you back. You got it from here on out. You got it. You got it, Lord, here on out. We need to tag and give it to God. Say, Lord, I'm tired. And I'm weary, and I'm getting the stuffings beat out of me. You know, when you get down peeing, you know, they have a thing where you hit the mat, right? Okay, let me up. I'm in trouble, and I can't just, you know, you do that little tap, and they stop the fight. That's where we're at. Some of us are on that mat, and the devil is all in our lives, pressed on us, and we can't move, and we have nowhere to go. It's time to just hit the mat, surrender to God. God, take over. The battle is yours. It's yours. Whatever you're about, it's yours. And there's no battle too big for God, no matter what you may think it is. There's no battle too big for God, no matter what you're going through right now. And don't think God don't care about your battle. Because you've not had an answer, you've not had a breakthrough, a deliverance, doesn't mean God is not working on your behalf. It doesn't mean God's not working things out for the right season, the right time for him to move in your life. Let God have the battle. It's so much a more peaceful life when we let God have things. And I know it's hard for us, because our minds never turn off. And the devil keeps those thoughts going all the time. The what ifs. What can I do? What can I do? No, it's not about what I can do. What can God do? Not what can I do. What can God do? I don't know. Anything? Nothing's impossible with God, right? Nothing. And I believe that. Nothing. Wait on the Lord. Trust in God. Believe in God. And let him have your battle. You got a song, Marjorie? Come on up, Mr. Nathan, if you can get up here, brother. You look kind of slow this morning. You okay? old football injury again, huh? Let's stand on our feet this morning before she sings this. I want to pray. I want us to make a collective agreement this morning as a body of believers that as we stand in this sanctuary, in the presence of God, that we give God our battle or battles this morning, and that we walk out of here with those battles in his hand. Lord, as we stand before you this morning, we are fighting things that we can never win in our flesh. We're fighting demonic forces, God, that cannot be won by the weapons of our warfare. But God, you are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And God, you can move any mountain. You can slay any giant. You can heal any sickness. You can rescue anyone lost. You can deliver everyone that is bound. God, you can break every chain. You, Lord, are God over all creation, over all nations, over a whole universe. You made it, Lord. And we surrender today as a body our battles to you. That we would just step back and let you, from this point on, step in these situations that we can't fix and trust you and wait upon you. That you shall bring deliverance. You will bring breakthrough. You will fight for us because you love us. You died for us, God. You rose the third day to give us everlasting life. We are your children, heirs of a mighty God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. We surrender right now every battle to your hands. We tag it out, God, and we're tagging you right now. Take it from me and fight for me, because I don't know what to do, and I'm asking for help right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me of who you are.
We got a special need we want to pray for. Barbara's going to stand in place of Zoe this morning. This used to be our praise dance team here at church. And they had a young lady leading them, Melanie's cousin, our niece, named Chelsea. You may remember that. Chelsea needs a miracle, a deliverance. She is in a very, very binding place. And she needs a touch that only God can give. So Melanie wanted the people that she helped lead her ministry to be up here with her to pray for Chelsea. Because at one point she was serving God, had such a heart for God. It was real. It was genuine. But the devil has stepped into her life and got her on a path that she doesn't belong on and doesn't need to be on. And she needs people like us to pray for her. She's just turned 22 years old, 24 years old a couple days ago. And she needs a miracle. She needs deliverance. Yeah. She needs a deliverance. She needs the chains to fall off her life. And so I want us to pray for her. If you will stretch your hands toward this group of people. Y'all join hands, girls, would you? Father, we call out Chelsea's name right now. God, she needs a deliverance, God. She needs the satanic, demonic hold on her life broken free. She needs to be set free, God. And only you can do that. This is not our battle, God. We're just seeking your face like the word says. We're calling on your name for help for her.
I don't even think she can pray for herself right now, God, but we're going to pray for her. We're going to lift her up before you. And we pray and we speak boldly and declare that the chains of darkness on her life will be broken and she will be free and she will worship and walk in your ways again with her hands raised and her mouth giving you praise, saying, "Yes, Jesus, you have brought me out of the ashes and set me back on a solid rock." We pray for her and speak forth this deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, girls. I appreciate y'all coming up. Go ahead and sing a little more, Marjorie.
Know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. And I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses. And I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
To remind me of who you are.
You know how God proved he is for you today? What happened at the cross proved he's for you. Church, he is so for you. In your good, ugly, and bad, he is for you. And he loves you with a love that can never, ever run out or fade away. No matter what you do against our Creator will not stop the love he has for you. He is for you. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for the whole world. He paid the price once and for all for the whole world. That's how much he loved humanity. The very ones that crucified him, he was for them. The very ones that gambled over his garments, he was for them. The very ones that spit in his face and cursed him, he was for them. The one that gave him the 39 stripes across his back, tied to a whipping post, he was for them. He is for every single person. You can't escape that kind of love. He loves you beyond a love we can ever imagine. He is on our side. Let him fight your battles going forth. God, take this. I can't do it no more. And I know you'll fight it for me. Don't let the devil put guilt and shame, condemnation back in your life that you're not worthy for God to be your God. He died for humanity. He died for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should believe shall not perish. Then verse 17. I love 17 just as much. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come in to sentence you and judge you. He came in that through him the world might be saved. That's how much he loves you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, he's for you. Oh, she sure did. She did a praise dance. I forgot about that. She did do one this song, didn't she? He absolutely is for her. Y'all be seated for a minute. Ushers, come on up here and give our morning giving. Get you on your way today. Letting God fight your battles. Father, we are thankful and grateful that you do fight our battles. God, you're fighting battles for us that we don't even know you're fighting sometimes. We're so thankful. We ask your blessing on the offering today as we give unto you. Lord, we worship you. We give you our first fruits of the best that we have, God, to honor you and what you are in our lives. Bless this seed, God, and use it and increase it for your glory, that lives continue to be changed, to hear the gospel that changes those lives. In Jesus' name, amen.